Thank you, group, for that piece. Jesus is the name we honour because there is salvation in no other name. As God's Word tells us, and God's Word tells us too, that God has commended, God has shown His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were lost in our sins, when we were helpless and hopeless and could do nothing for ourselves, Christ died for us and brought us God's grace, God's way of salvation. And that's the thought behind our opening hymn this evening. 1127, 1127. The words will come on screen as usual. Let's stand and praise God with this lovely hymn of the gospel. When I was lost, you came and rescued me, reached down into the pit and lifted me. O Lord, such love, I was as far from you as I could be. So let's stand and praise God for his salvation in the words of this opening hymn. Well, a warm welcome to all to our evening worship, and if you're a visitor with us, you're indeed especially welcome. And I trust that we will know the Lord's presence here in our service, more especially in our hearts. Let's continue a short time of praise, which is on a theme of personal testimony, praising God for his salvation in our lives. 254, 254, please, a chorus which follows on from the one we've just sung. I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. My heart is overflowing. My love just keeps on growing. Here in the grace of God I stand. 254.
Thank you.
296, please. We'll pick up on that word stand. 296, here's another lovely hymn. An older hymn, but a lovely hymn and a popular hymn. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. We'll sing tonight that first verse, and we'll sing also verses 4 and 5. So it's the first verse and the last two verses this evening of another great hymn of the gospel. Yes, indeed, it's the Christian's privilege and promise to one day be with their Saviour in heaven. But we can still praise his name now. We do it here in our service of worship together this evening. We do it at any time, for the Lord is always with his people. But when we come to church, when we come into his gates, we enter them with a song in our hearts because of what he has done for us, because he has made us glad. 307, please. 307, another chorus, and one we know well, and we'll sing it over a couple of times together this evening. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and this is indeed his day. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. We'll sing it through twice, 307. And let's sing another famous hymn and another lovely hymn and favourite hymn of the gospel. Philip Doddridge's great hymn. It's number 499, if you're following in the books. O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice
until its rapture's all abroad. We'll sing verse 1, and then the chorus, and we'll also sing verse 2. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. All that was needed for our forgiveness has been done. Done by the Lord Jesus on Calvary. Verses 1 and 2 of Doddridge's great hymn of personal testimony. And let's finish our short selection of praise together this evening by singing 591. And please let's stand again and sing this hymn together. There only are the two verses with the chorus, and they're based on great words of the gospel from the Old Testament, where we are encouraged, indeed called, indeed commanded, to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man of thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. For he will show mercy, he will abundantly pardon. Therein is our salvation. So let's stand and sing this hymn to conclude this part of our praise together this evening. Seek ye the Lord, all ye people.
It's good to see you all out tonight at our outreach service. Thank you for that time of praise. We're going to have an opening word of prayer, and Mr. Andrew Dara is going to lead us in prayer. Thank you, Andrew.
I would like to preface the prayer with a question. If you were summoned before God this evening to give a reason of the hope that is within you, that is, to tell God why you should be admitted to his everlasting kingdom, I wonder how you would approach God. Would you come multiplying words? Would you come with a cavalier attitude? That is, a careless attitude. Would you speak without thought to God? Would you speak disrespectfully to God? I don't think so. You would come with godly fear and with reverence. Now the Lord is with us in this service this evening, and we are in his presence, and we are now going to talk to God. So could I ask you to focus your thought on what we're about to do, and to still yourself before him. Let us pray. Eternal God, we come into thy holy presence this evening, recognizing that thou art a great God and a great King, that thou art a holy God, a just God, a loving God. We want to praise thee tonight for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that glorious message which thou hast committed to thy servants, that they might tell the world of thy love and of thy mercy. And we are here, Lord, this evening to hear that message. We pray that thou wilt write it upon our hearts. And we bless thy holy name, that thou hast given thy Holy Spirit, that our minds might be opened and enlightened to receive that word. We pray then, Father, that thou wilt work in our midst tonight, and that thou wilt bless all those who take part, that our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Savior, might be glorified. Grant that he may be lifted up, and that he may draw all men to him. We commit the service to thee, and we pray for thy working in our midst. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's have our Bible reading, and it's the same verses that we read last week from Galatians chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 11. And after the reading, we're going to have a word of testimony, and Stephen McCarroll is going to give his testimony. And thank you, Stephen, for taking part in our service tonight. I told him he's about 45 minutes, so keep it short. Galatians 6 verse 11, Paul says, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thanks, Stephen.
Before I make a start tonight, I want to do a Bible reading from John 14, verse 1-6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, this was a portion of scripture that spoke to my heart in September 2009 before I gave my life to the Lord. And I just want to thank Raymond for asking me to give my testimony, and to this church for making me feel welcome. It's a small church with a big heart. If somebody was to ask, say to me, for 4 years from now, you'll be standing on the front of the congregation in Ballymena giving your testimony, I would have thought they were having me on, because number one, I didn't think much of God, and number two, I'm not very good at standing here speaking like this, but I'll give it a go. And if someone was to ask me, do you know your life before, can you remember your life before you met Jesus, I say I do. I was ruled in my thoughts, and I would go anywhere and do whatever I pleased and say whatever I wanted and just sort of run with the world. But I'm not here to give Satan any glory in my testimony tonight, because he's had his pound of flesh from me and he's getting no more. I'm here to give the Lord the glory and the praise and how he has brought me to where I am now. I was reared up outside Collybeck near the Craigs, and two loving parents, Bally and Marlene, and they taught me to respect them and respect others. And my father there, you know, if he'd asked me to jump, I'd have had to ask him how high, because he was strict, but it done me no harm. And for a young boy growing up, couldn't have got a better place to grow up. And my good friend Colin Courtney, he lived up the road from me, and we had good crack, we had forests and rivers, and we even had a castle to explore about on. But then were the days when we were young and innocent, and then I went on to the Cunningham Memorial Church in Collybeggy, and as time went on, I fell away from the church with no interest in it, and I left school and I got a job as a lorry helper in Deal Farm when I was 16, and Colin was there too. And at 16, we were well paid. We were nearly too well paid for 16-year-olds. And you know what that led to? It started running out to the Fort Royal and Tully Glass. And you ended up drinking and smoking and spending all your hard-earned money in them sort of places. And you'd have come home with a thick lap and a black eye, and you thought life was good. But time moved on, and me and Colin sort of drifted apart a wee bit. And I ended up down in Conway Transport in Ballymoney. And 21, I got my HTV license and I started running, doing the cross channel work, and that took me away from home a lot. And I met a girl down there and we married and built a bungalow and had a wee boy, Joel. Well, thank the Lord for her. Sorry. No one's perfect. My marriage failed. And that was hard on me, and I took it hard, but time moves on. And, sorry. I met my wife Sharon, I thank the Lord for. But time moves on, I got over it, and I had a chip on my shoulder because of that. And I got into many a fight on a Saturday night over the head of it. But Colin got in touch with me again, and we went fishing. And he told me he gave his life to the Lord, and he got saved, and he'd stopped drinking and smoking. And I thought, that'd be a wild, boring life. But I can tell you, at any age, I was in the church, in the Wellington Church Hall last night, the Christian life's far from being boring. As Rodney Mallard can vouch for. But I would just plod on through life, and Colin would ask me to go to Ballynafy Mission Hall. And I kept putting it off, but I noticed a change in him for the better. And then in August 2009, I was sitting in this church at Hugh Scullion's funeral, and Raymond was taking the service, and he was talking about where he would spend eternity. But a lot did I know that the Holy Spirit was starting to talk to me then, because I came out and I thought, where would I spend eternity? You're only a heartbeat away from death. So I went along to Ballinafy with Colm, and I enjoyed it. I went along a few Sunday nights, and then I started and read my Bible, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I got a hunger for God's Word. And then one night on the 20th of September, it was in 2009, I decided to come along to this wee church and to the evening service where Raymond was preaching the Word of God. And I'd be honest, I sat up at the back there and I felt I was the only person in that church, and everything he said was then kneeled unto me. But that was the Holy Spirit convicting me, and it was God's quiet voice speaking to me. And then I went home that night and my head was buzzing, and it was about 10:30. I was lying in the room, it was pitch darkness. And now people talk about the fear of God coming into them, and I tell you, the fear of God came into me that night, because I was lying and I thought, you know, if I fall asleep and I don't wake, and I'm just a sinner on the road to hell. But then I thought, you know, I don't do anybody any harm, and I work hard, and I paid my way. But it was Jesus that paid our way as he hung on that cross in Calvary. And unless you ask him to forgive you and to cleanse you of your sin, you aren't getting into heaven. And it doesn't matter how good you lead your life or how often you come to church, if you don't ask him for forgiveness, you won't get in. Well, I jumped out of bed that night and I just dropped to my knees and asked the Lord into my life and to forgive me, and praise the Lord for it. And there was no flashes of lightning or flashes of thunder, but I tell you, there was a presence there and a real contentment. And cigarettes was my vice, and I tried everything off, and patches and inhalers and chewing gum and you name it, I tried it, but couldn't get off them. But there's power in the prayer, and the Lord took them from me instantly, and all I had to do was ask him. And I just want to say thank you for listening to me tonight. And if I could give anyone any advice, is to put their trust in Jesus, and there's nothing impossible to him. And when you have your faith in him, and you can say all is well with your soul, there's nothing in this filthy world that can compare to that. And there's nothing easy about the Christian life, because there's people out there preaching it should be a bed of roses, but it's definitely not. And why should it be? Like, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, he is our God and Creator. He died on the cross at Calvary, one of the cruelest deaths known to man for us. And to me, that's a real true love. That's a token of true love. And it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Spoken from the heart. Thank you. And every Christian in the church tonight has a testimony. We haven't all come the same road that Stephen has come. That is his testimony. We could all relate the different experiences, but we've all come to the cross. And as Paul says, we glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you the announcements, and a very warm welcome to you tonight to our outreach service. We seek to have the last Sunday of the month in what we call an outreach service, and it's good to see a few more in tonight. Please don't rush away afterwards. There's a cup of tea and a biscuit here in the back hall, and you can have a chat before going home. And you might make more tea when you go home, but there's just a cup of tea and a biscuit in here at the back afterwards. You're made very welcome to stay. And the announcements on Tuesday night, the conversational Bible study on Tuesday night, and we all enjoy that, and you're made very welcome to that. I take it there's no kids club on Wednesday night because of the midterm break. The schools are off this week, so no kids club on Wednesday night. Next Sunday then, the first Sunday of the month at 9 o'clock, the prayer meeting and Bible study, and then 10:15 the Sunday school and Bible class, and then our morning service and evening service 11:30 and 6:30. The Lord's table will follow the morning service, and there will be our time of prayer 6:10 before the evening service. Pastor Peter Smith will be speaking at both services. I have the two services in Lisburn Congregational Church. I announced the women's Christmas dinner this morning. It's on Friday the 7th of December. The cost is £23.95, but if there's more than 20, that could be reduced to £19. And there's a sheet on the table there. Would you please put your name down if you're hoping to go? But there must be a £10 deposit per person required, if that could be brought within the next couple of weeks, and it's open to all women of the church. There's bits and pieces of literature down there as well. The latest is a series of meetings that will be conducted in November by the Bible or by the Christian Institute. And there's always a meeting in Ballymena, and it'll be on Friday the 16th of November from 8 o'clock to 9:30 in the Laymore House Hotel. And the subject is marriage under attack, and it's about, as we all know, homosexual marriage and the redefinition of marriage, and also Sharia law, because there is a growth of unlawful Sharia courts operating across the UK by Muslims. And so these meetings are to inform and to encourage prayer and to equip us as we defend marriage. So there are some of these brochures down there, and please take one. So these are all the announcements, and we'll bring to the Lord our offerings. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for Christian testimony, and there are those in the church tonight who have that, others do not have, but we thank you that they're in under the sound of your word once again tonight, and given something to think about. And Lord, again you are showing to them your patience, and we just pray that they will seek you, that once again they're being often reproved, but there could be sudden change. And Lord, we just pray that in these days of mercy and grace, that they shall call upon you. So do be with us now, and thank you for all of your blessings. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. A great hymn of testimony is number 748. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Now, usually if I'm doing a series, I would break off for this service and just do a text, an evangelistic text. But I feel tonight I don't have to do that. I can carry on with our series in Galatians. We're nearly finished, and God willing, a fortnight tonight, we shall finish. We looked last week at our outline. We saw the conclusion where Paul says in verse 11, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand," large letters that may have been because of defective vision, or it may have just been for emphasis. And then we saw the ceremony that the Judaizers were seeking to impose upon these Galatian believers, circumcision. And then we saw the cross. There were those who boasted, there were those who gloried in the circumcision, in the flesh. But with that great text of Paul, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." And let me bring you tonight as an evangelistic text, verse 15. "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." And here we have Paul putting side by side the religious and the non-religious, the Jew and the Gentile or the pagan, those brought up in a religious way, those who were brought up not in a religious way, maybe in a home where there was no thought of God, no mention of God. The only time that children heard the name of God when God was being used as a swear word, his name was taken in vain, or a parent expressing their views on God. And here Paul puts the two side by side. And he says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." Now take note of Galatians 6 and verse 15, a new creation, because there's only one more mention in the Bible of those words, a new creation. And it's maybe in a better known text of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." It's only two times in the Bible where these words appear. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And whenever the Bible talks about creation, it's talking about the creation of material things, of the world, of creation. God the Creator. But here it is applied to a person, not to a planet or to the universe, which would be the usual mentions. But in these two verses, it's applied to an individual. "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." That's what counts. And you can see how people were viewed. In chapter 2 and verse 7, for example, Paul says, "But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter." Now, there's not two different gospels, one for the circumcised and one for the uncircumcised. Paul is simply saying, "I was sent to the Gentiles." Peter was the evangelist to the circumcised, to the Jews, to those who were brought up that way in the laws of God. Chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" Is there some point where you carry on where the spirit leaves off? Does the spirit stop and then you carry on in the flesh, in your own strength? Efforts of the flesh creates more bondage than freedom. Chapter 5, verse 3 says, "And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law." There's more bondage in that than there is freedom. Paul was saying to these people, "You want to be circumcised? Well, then you have to keep the whole law." And is it possible to do that? We're talking here about something that is outward in the flesh. Circumcision. But we're talking about a new creation, something that is inward, in the heart and life. Outward and inward, flesh and spirit, Jew and Gentile. And whatever background is irrelevant, it doesn't matter. For in Christ Jesus, circumcision does not avail anything. It doesn't matter how you've been brought up. You could have been brought up in the strictest religious home, and that could have rubbed off onto your life. And you're the most upright, decent citizen that anyone could ever come across. And you're hoping with those credentials that you'll get to heaven. But this verse says, in Christ Jesus, circumcision, such an upbringing, does not avail anything. And then you look upon a person who is the uncircumcised, someone who wasn't brought up in a strict religious home, maybe someone brought up in a dysfunctional family, someone whose life has just been an utter mess from day one, and that has rubbed off on them. And that life does not avail anything either. They're not going to get to heaven, just the same way as the person who's trusting in all their religiosity is going to get them to heaven. That's not going to avail them either. Both need to become a new creation. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. Both need to be made new. Now it's interesting that one of Rodney's chosen pieces was our closing hymn. Anyway, "I am a new creation." And we'll sing it again at the end. But this word "new," for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. That word "new," it suggests that something has happened. It suggests that there has been a change. And we have just sung, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought." As 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Look at the change. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." What a change. As one has put it, that a change is produced so great as to make it proper to say that he is a new man or new woman. He has new views, new motives, new principles, new objects and plans of life. He seeks new purposes and he lives for new ends. There is a change so deep, so clear, so entire and so abiding that it is proper to say, here is a new creation of God, a work of the divine power. There is no other moral change that takes place on earth so deep and radical and thorough as the change at conversion. A new creation. And it's interesting that the word creation is used. A new creation. A creation is a making. But this is a new creation. A remaking. And you know, we are directed back to the very opening verses of the Bible in Genesis 1, verses 1 to 3, where it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Now, these are among the most mysterious verses of the Bible, because it says in verse 2, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep." Now, why is it described like that? God created the heavens and the earth. Did he create it without void? Did he create it with darkness? Or did something happen? We don't know. But whatever it says, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." And then we can come to another verse in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, where it says this, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness." Now there Paul takes us back to Genesis 1 verse 3. "For it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." What fascinates me about this is where Christian conversion is equated to creation. The God who said, upon that dark world without form and void, "Let there be light," God comes to a man or woman and he declares into their heart, "Let there be light." And there is light. And that individual becomes a new creation. They were in the dark. And of course we're told in the New Testament that we are in darkness. We pass from darkness into light. And we are without form and we are void. We are empty. And God's fullness comes into our hearts and lives. A new creation. Stephen has testified of being a new creation in Christ. Others can testify of being a new creation. And it doesn't matter what your background is, whether it has been religious or not. Circumcision, suggesting that which is religious. The uncircumcision, that which is non-religious, pagan. What matters is that you need to become a new creation. And one has said, God renewed what was in a chaotic state. He changed chaos into cosmos. Disorder into order. Emptiness into fullness. All these images together portray chaos, disaster, and devastation. From this portrait of utter ruin, God brought an orderly creation. But he does the same with a life. Where there's disorder, where there's chaos, where there's devastation, he changes that life. Being religious will not change that. Certainly being irreligious will not change that. But a new creation will. And this is how Paul is closing off. This is his last mention of the subject of circumcision, which can be threaded through the book of Galatians right from chapter 1. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. No spiritual profit in it whatsoever, but a new creation. You see, circumcision is something that man can make on his body. But a new creation, you cannot make a new creation. It is God that does that. So circumcision can also imply our good works. Those who are seeking to get to heaven, those who are seeking to please God by good works, circumcision can imply that. We're not saved by good works. Ephesians 2 says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. Most important thing is to come to the cross. As verse 14 says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one has said about that, the cross makes both circumcision and uncircumcision religiously meaningless. Circumcision, Paul had come to believe, was nothing more than an external mark on a man's body. And there could be no religious significance in that. All that really matters is that people be made a new creation in Christ Jesus. This can come about only through faith in Christ. All that really matters is that people be made a new creation in Christ Jesus. May you be one of those people. May you be one of those people who has experienced the remaking of God in your life. We were made in the image of God. That image has been marred through sin. But we can be remade in the image of God. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. But link that up with 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Let's sing again, number 254. I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God, I stand.
I am a
pray, Lord, that everyone in this congregation tonight and those who are listening in to our services via the internet will be able to say, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.